your Bibles. Still is. Amen. That's what I love about Hiles Anderson College. Still as goofy as ever, amen. But having a lot of fun doing it. What a joy to be here. Thank you so much, Brother Douglas, for the room, for the accommodations, for everything that you've done for my family and me as we've been here. It's a tremendous honor to be here. Like he said, I packed up my family. I was 31 years old when I came, just a couple weeks after 9/11 happened. And we got started here, and 4.5 years of college, 2006, that my clock is a little off. 2006, graduated, moved to Des Moines, started a church, and God has been faithful this whole time. Amen. Amen. And it's so good to be here. What an awesome experience to be able to preach in chapel. I know the hardest thing that I'm going to have to do this morning is keep some of you awake. Amen. That's a job. That's tough. And I remember as a student sitting, trying to stay awake sometimes. They used to let us sometimes go stand in the back just so we could keep from sleeping. And so I'm going to do my best to do that this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, one of my worries when I came back is, am I going to remember everybody's name and be able to address everybody? And that never happens with me. I always get a brain freeze when I know your name. I just don't know your name. Amen? And I was diagnosed with something recently, and that's the reason for my memory problems. It's old age. Amen? Old age. I was just called Boomer for the first time just a couple days ago, and I thought that was very disrespectful, amen? And the reason it's disrespectful is because I'm not a Boomer, amen? I'm an Xer. Boomers come on kind of like a caboose on the end of the train. They're right behind. I'm sorry, the Xers are right behind the Boomers, and so I'm not technically a Boomer, although it's a pretty cool name. It's okay being called a Boomer. Better than being called an Xer, you know. Sounds like a slasher or something crazy like that. And anyway, you know, it's like, it's like, being called a Boomer is like saying you're old as dirt. Amen? You're old as dirt. Actually, I'm not as old as dirt. I'm just old as dust. What's the difference between dust and dirt? Dirt is dust that's settled. Amen? Dust that's settled. Not quite settled yet. And so, amen. I'm going to quit right there. I'm either going to get you laughing with me or at me, one of the two. And so, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. This morning I'm going to preach on the subject, Have faith in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I yield myself to you at this moment, I pray that you would use me. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd guide and direct my thoughts, my words, and Lord, not only what I say, but how I say it. May it be pleasing to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. In our text in Mark chapter 11, we read about an extraordinary miracle. On the way from Bethany to Jerusalem, when he saw that there was no fruit on the fig tree, Jesus simply cursed the fig tree. The next morning as they were passing by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots and withered away. Jesus didn't pull the fig tree out of the ground. He didn't hack away at it. He didn't do anything to it. He simply spoke the words, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, that was unusual for his disciples to see. It was extraordinary. Peter's response, although dumbfounded, was to state the obvious. Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, no doubt you've heard dozens of sermons on what Jesus said the next several verses about moving mountains, etc. And those are some of the favorite sermons that I've heard in my life. And I certainly love them. And they're certainly all true. I love every sermon I've heard on faith, partly because of all the stories of the extraordinary miracles, not only from the Bible, but from people that I've heard standing in pulpits just like this one. And even from this pulpit. Now, mostly, I love it because God puts such a heavy emphasis on faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, But without faith, it is improbable to please Him. Is that what it says? No, it says it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The question many years ago for me was, what is faith and how do I get more of it? See, I'm a practical guy. I don't want to just hear a sermon. I want to hear how the nuts and the bolts of it. Don't just tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it. Amen? And that's what I'm always looking for. You know, fortunately for us, the Bible answers the questions that we have about faith. What is faith? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. First of all, number one, we see that faith is substance. Faith isn't something that just floats around in your head. Amen? There's something to it. It's tangible. You can touch it. Faith is substance. What is it the substance of? The things hoped for. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I've got in my wallet, very rare to see this, but I've got a $5 bill. Amen. How many of you would like a $5 bill? Amen. How many would really like a $5? My wife's got her hand up. Amen. How many would really like a $5 bill? You got to convince me. All right. All right, this lady right here, she's pointing to herself. Yep, come on up here. Come on up here. She really wants that $5 bill. What's your name?
Sierra.
Tierra. There you go, Tierra. Sierra. All right. Now, Sierra has faith. She's got substance. Amen. And how many more of you want faith? Oh. Sorry, Brother Snipes, I'm all out of faith. Amen. I'm all out of faith. But faith is substance. There's something to it. Now, you hope for it. It's Sierra. Is that right? Sierra. You hope for it, now you have it, right? Amen. So you have faith. Faith is substance. What I'm trying to get you to see is faith is not just a feeling, it's not just a hope, it's the substance of hope. Like this building here, we're standing in a building that is the substance of Dr. Heil's hope many years ago. And so there's something to faith. It's not just an imaginary thing that floats around in the air. I remember I used to pray for faith. I used to pray hours, God, give me faith. And I don't think it was a worthless exercise. I think God always answers our prayers. But faith is more than just a dream. It's substance. There's something to it. And so, number one, faith is substance, the substance of things hoped for. Number two, faith is evidence. Now, look back at verse 1. Tell me, what is the faith the evidence of? Things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 explains it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, every one of us, when we were a child, we looked up in the sky, we saw the sun, we saw the moon, and we saw the stars, etc. And none of us had a problem with the fact that God did that until somebody started teaching you that God didn't do that. Now, children don't argue with the evidence. They have to be trained to be unbelievers. And so, it was made, everything you see was made of something that does not appear. And so faith is substance, there's something to it, but there's evidence. And everything you see was made of something that does not appear. And so God is our creator. Amen. Amen. God is our creator. Leads me to number three. Faith is attributable. Faith is attributable. Now you might be saying, what in the world is that? To attribute to means to ascribe to or reckon as belonging to. So if you attribute something to somebody, it belongs to them, it's because of them, etc. Faith is attributable. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to have to hurry here. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, here's an excellent illustration of how faith is ascribed. Now, nope, they couldn't deny the miracle. Amen. You can't deny something like that. Somebody that is crippled and cannot walk and deaf and dumb, sorry, cannot see or hear and cannot talk. And now all of a sudden they can hear and they can speak. I mean, you just can't deny that. Amen. That's evidence. Amen. Now, That's evidence of a God that can do miracles. Now, some of them, they saw the miracle and they ascribed Jesus to be the Son of God. They said, "Thou Son of David." Now, that wasn't just something they said. That was something that meant, this is the Christ. This is the one that is coming to establish the kingdom and to bring in the reign of Christ. And so, "Thou Son of David," some of them said. But the Pharisees said, "He doesn't cast out devils but by the prince of the devils." So they didn't ascribe the healing to Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. They ascribed it to Satan. And so all of us have faith. It's just, who is your faith in? And that was a question. They couldn't come up in their hearts with the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. And some of them, because he lived among them. Is this not the carpenter? The carpenter? Son of Joseph, etc. Now, so faith is attributable. Nobody ever saw the creation, but we attribute it to God. We have faith in God. I hope you do. Amen. Because he's keeping this mess together. Amen. Which is not a mess. It's wonderful. It's tremendous. I love physics. I love cosmology. I love all that stuff. I spend way too much time on it. And it is truly amazing what God has done in his creation. But God did that. God did that. And that same God that did that can do other things too.
Amen.
Amen. That same God that did that can give me breath to breathe every time I open my mouth. That same God that created this world can put gas in my car tomorrow. Amen. That same God that created this world can get you through Bible college. Amen. And the Bible said, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, let me give you a couple illustrations. We'll give you the last point, and then I'll wrap it up. I remember when I graduated from Bible college. That was a miracle in itself, amen. I had a wife, 3 kids when I started, 5 kids when I left. It's a miracle I'm still sane, amen. But I graduated, and we went to Des Moines. We started a church, and I thought, where am I going to start a church? All these questions start coming. Where am I going to start a church? Who's going to listen? Amen. Who's going to come? And how am I going to get the money for all this? And so on and so forth. And so, but God, step by step, made things happen. And he made it happen, one, because we worked hard, amen? And whenever I talk about faith, don't confuse faith with sitting around praying all the time and not doing anything, amen? Let me just get that straight. We worked and worked.
Amen.
And I've probably averaged, 80 hours a week since I started our church 13 years ago, amen? But I love it. I love work. I enjoy work. Amen. But faith. Where are we going to get the means to do all this? And so our first building, I remember, I worked with the city of Urbandale, which is a northern suburb of Des Moines. And I worked with the city, and I talked to them about using the senior center on Sundays, and they agreed to that. And so they rented us the senior center. They said, as long as you're the first person to rent it, you can rent up to a month in advance. As long as you're the first person to rent it, you can rent it forever. And I said, great. I may need it for a very long time. And so I started renting the senior center in Urbandale. And we had our services. And wow, people began to come. Amen. And God began to bless the soul winning. Amen. because it's soul winning that's going to build your church. Amen. And not that the people that you actually talk to are going to be the ones that come, but God will bring them. Amen. Why? Because God blesses soul winning. And if there's anything I learned at Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church is that God blesses soul winning. And it's true. Amen? Amen. And it's true. And we have a thriving church today because God blesses soul winning. And it's exciting. But people started to come. And I thought, this is wonderful. And I'll never forget, about 4 weeks in, I went to go renew. Amen? Renew the... to go in and pay for the right to keep having our services there. And I'll never forget what the administrator said. He said, Pastor, he said, do you take offerings in the senior center? And I said, well, of course I do. We're a church. He said, well, we have a policy that you cannot take offerings in a nonprofit. You can't take an offering in a nonprofit, you can't make a profit. And I said, well, we're a nonprofit too. Everything's okay. Amen. He said, well, it doesn't work that way. All that to say, he said, well, basically, you can't have church here anymore. And I was dejected. I mean, I had sent out thousands and thousands of flyers. We took a busload of people and had 6,000 flyers just the day before we started alone. I mean, everyone knows that First Baptist Church is going to be started here at the Senior Center. And so, Brother Snipes, I had no idea what I was going to do. And I was terrified. And I tried to argue with them a little bit, but it didn't work. And it came down to this. I knew I had to find another place. And I didn't know what to do, and so I got in my car, and that happened to be a Thursday. And I thought, I'm just going to do what I always do. I always go soul winning on Thursday nights. And so I got in my car, and I went soul winning. And I thought, I'm just going to be faithful. Amen. Just going to be faithful. I got in my car, went soul winning, had no idea where we were going to have church. I had that Sunday, but that was it. And I had no idea where I was going to have church a week from Sunday. But I was in the neighborhood, and I went soul winning. As soon as I was done, I got in my car, and I started driving, and I was just kind of, Lord, what am I going to do? And I was beside myself. Where am I going to have church? Where is the place where we're going to meet going to come from? And so I got in my car and I went down the road, and I got to a pretty busy thoroughfare called Merle Hay Road. And that thoroughfare had a service road in front of it. So I turned on the service road, and I felt like God was showing me where to go. I turned on this little service road, and I'm driving, and I see what looks just like a church, just like a church building. And it had a for rent sign on the outside. And I thought, wow, that's wonderful. I thought, I'm going to go see if I can talk to this guy. And so sure enough, I go in there and I meet a man named Dr. Sam Warren. Dr. Sam Warren happens to be a Christian. Amen. And he had two big rooms for rent in this little building. And one was about 400 square foot. One was about 200 square foot. And it had a kitchenette. And he said, I'll rent those rooms to you for such and such price. And so I said, and we got through all that. And he said, I've got a bigger meeting room where you could have church on Sundays. That's just a little bit more. That's $25 on Sundays. I thought, we can handle that. Amen. And so to make a long story short, God provided.
Amen.
Amen. He provided a place for us to go. Now, faith is substance. Amen. The substance of things hope. I was hoping for a building. I was praying. And I know who holds tomorrow. And I said, Lord, I need a place. God said, that's okay. I've already got a place provided for you. And God had a man who needed a church, and God had a church who needed a building, and he put these two together. Why? Because God can do that. Amen? God can do that. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And through faith, you can do some extraordinary things if you'll have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, over the next four and a half years, that church began to grow. And we were always running out of room. We're still always running out of room. That church began to grow, and people started to come, and family started to come. And we went from Sunday morning only to Wednesday, Sunday night and Wednesday night, and people start coming, and we were out of room, but God had a plan. And we kept praying, and we put our faith in God, and eventually we acquired more and more of that building until Dr. Sam Warren, this man, this Christian man, moved his business out of that building so we could use it for a church. It was pretty extraordinary. It's pretty extraordinary. Now, faith is substance. Faith is substance. The substance of things hoped for. You see, the whole time, I was hoping for a place to meet. And if we attribute this faith to God, he can make it happen. He can make it happen, and he did. Now, we needed a bigger building. We grew out of that one. God provided a bigger building. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of, we had to remodel that building, etc. So don't confuse, like I said, faith with laziness. They don't work together. But God provided. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, before this pulpit was built, it was faith. Somebody believed that they could make this pulpit. They put their hands and the tools together. They made this pulpit. This is faith. Amen? This is faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is attributable to God, and we ought to make sure that we never forget where all good things come from. Every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. It doesn't come from your righteousness or my righteousness. It doesn't come from your intelligence or lack thereof. It comes from God. Now, men and women of great faith are those who learn to stop trusting in their own righteousness, who stop trusting in their own abilities, and who start putting their trust in the God who spoke the worlds into existence. Amen. By the way, that's a hard lesson to learn. And when you think you've learned it, you haven't. You haven't. God's got to knock you down a notch or two. That brings me to my last point. Faith is tested. Faith is tested. Now, as we learn to put more and more faith in God, God must allow our faith to be tested. Now, when we outgrew our second building, we needed another building. And we were making plans. And by the way, going back to faith is attributable, we were making plans to build a 350-seat auditorium. And we had those plans all laid out. And once again, fear came. Where are we going to get the money to do this? How is this going to happen? And God said, just look back a little bit. And he reminded me of that first building, those two rooms that turned into three and then four and a whole building. He reminded me that He can supply. He can supply. We got that second building. God reminded me that He can supply. And we had a very expensive mortgage on that land. It was $800,000. $4,600 a month was our payment. And on top of that, I felt like God was leading me to build a building. Tear this one down on the property and build a building. And so, make another long story short. I wish I had time to tell all these stories. Make another long story short. We had all the plans laid out in my office, and an evangelist brought a preacher from the other side of town into my office. And that preacher had a building with nobody in it. And we had a building, we had a church with no building. And God brought those two churches together. And after that happened, we went from owing $800,000 with 6% interest, which is crazy. We went from owing that to having a building debt-free with four houses, debt-free. Okay? Now, God can do that.
Amen.
Amen? But we must have faith in God.
Good.
We must have faith in God. Now, you've got problems. God can solve them.
Amen?
Amen? And you're worried about, I got to get a little smarter and God will solve my problem. No. You just got to learn to trust.
Good.
Trust and obey. I got to get a little more righteous and God can solve my problems. No. You've got to learn to trust in the one who is righteous. And God will solve your problems. You see, when you put your faith in yourself, then you're going to get what you can see. And that's it. But when you put your faith in the unseen, then you're going to get the miraculous, the extraordinary. And that's what God has taught us over and over again. But your faith will be tested. Will be tested. Now, I don't think I can do this in 5 minutes, but I'm going to try. We outgrew that building again. And we, you know, we just have Sunday school classes. We just outgrew the building. And so I was driving down the road, and God showed me a building, and it was 14 acres, 600-seat auditorium, 38 classrooms, two gymnasiums, one a full-blown gymnasium. And I was riding high on faith about that time, Brother Douglas. I'll just be honest. Brother King, I was like, you know, God did it all these times before. God's going to do it again. Amen. God's going to do it again. And so I went and I talked to the realtor, and I worked with the realtor, and I worked with the church that owned the building, and I worked with the school that wanted to get in the school side of it. It was a church side and a school side, and we were going to come up with a plan to let them use the school side for 5 years while we used the church side, and then we'd get the whole thing when we needed it. And all that plan start coming together. I went and talked to the bank, amen. And the banker said, no way, no way, Jose. But I showed him some financials and I showed him our plan. And he said, okay, no way, from no way to okay, amen. And so everything was coming together. And that process took about a year and 4 months. And we got them from $4.9 million to $1.1 million. Amen. $1.1 million. And I thought, God is good. God is good. And I was riding high in faith. But I want to remind you that God tests our faith. God tests our faith. And during that 1 year and 4 months, God was knocking me down a notch or two. You remember Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh. That was what God was doing to me. Because when God gives you responsibility, when God gives you power with God, God has to make sure that He can trust you with it. And so God has to test your faith. And God was testing. And not only my faith, but the faith of our church. And it became a year and 4 months of trial after trial, test after test. And I wasn't ready for that. But the deadline came. And I remember I was all ready to pull the trigger. I was all ready to make the deal. And God says, I'll let you do it, but that's not my will. You're not ready for that building yet. And some in my heart, I knew the Holy Spirit was right. In my heart, I was not ready for that building yet. My church was not ready for that building yet. And so we made up an excuse and we backed out. Why? Because faith was tested. And God is going to test our faith. God tested Abraham's faith. God tested Jacob's faith. You remember Jacob? His desire, his whole life, was that God would bless him. He'd remembered Abraham's blessing. He'd remembered Isaac's blessing. But when it came time for his blessing, he had someone that kept getting in front of him. You remember, he pulled his brother's heel so he could be the firstborn. But his brother beat him to it. And so Jacob said, well, I'm smart enough to outsmart, con my brother out of his blessing. So he conned his brother out of his blessing. Jacob said, I'm going to use my wit, my intellect, to get God's blessing. God said, no, you're not going to get it that way. And so Jacob moved. And he went for 21 years. He said, I'm going to use... He realized that didn't work. I'm going to use hard work to get God's blessing. Hard work to get God's blessing. He worked till his fingers... he worked his fingers to the bone. He worked through the frost. He worked through the droughts. But he ran into somebody that was a better conniver than him, Uncle Laban. And when Jacob figured all this out, there's nothing I can do, no power in myself to get God's blessing. He said, I'm just going to go back home. I'm just going to go back home to where I came from, to where I know God is there. And so on that journey home, he was faced with a prospect, and I'm just about done. He was faced with a prospect of a 300-man army that he knew was coming. Now, I don't know about you, I take that a little bit differently. I think Esau, you don't bring 300 people to throw you a party. I'm with Jacob on that one. I think he's coming to get him. Now, I think the appeasement worked in the presence. I think it softened Esau's heart. But that's not the message. Jacob was facing the prospect. Not only am I not going to get God's blessing, but I'm going to get wiped out completely. And some of you are facing that prospect today. You don't know how you're going to finish Bible college. You don't know how you're going to finish what God started in you. My answer for you today is have faith in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God. You see, Jacob wrestled with a man that night. And what Jacob learned was, I don't have strength to get God's blessing with my cunning, with my intellect, or with my hard work. I'm just going to have to grab onto God and not let go until God blesses me. His faith was tested. You say, what happened? God did bless him. He said, what is your name? Jacob. Thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God. Faith is substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's attributable to God, and it should be to God alone. And number four, it's going to be tested.
Right.
And some of you, God is testing you today. He's just waiting for you to get to the end of your rope So just stop looking at your flesh and start looking at His holiness, His righteousness, His power, because He can do it, folks.
Amen.
He can do whatever it is that you need done. Thank you, Brother Douglas.